Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, it was that great chronicler of our times, Cher, who once asked, "Do you believe in life after love?" But what about life after pop? It's something that Cher clearly considered herself, diversifying as she did into a successful parallel career in acting. But what of those who have left the world of music behind them and started a second career elsewhere? Owen Sweeney joins me now to take a look at some interesting examples. Where do we start?
Well, should we start? We go over to the UK and we start with the man who's probably most reinvented himself. His pop... Kudos. No, what would you say? His pop credentials are probably the most tenuous, or slightly on the tenuous side. D Ream, he was the keyboard player in D Ream.
Oh, yeah, we had him in here once. He's the sexy professor on television.
He's the smouldering piece of thinking person's crumpet, as they say over there in England, yeah, in the broadsheets. It is Professor Brian Cox. He has had a massively successful career as a television scientist, physicist, whatever you're having yourself. Usually hanging out with Darrow Breen and people like that, doing The Sky at Night and all that sort of stargazing stuff. But he did play keyboards on the song of 1996-97, when Tony Blair swept to power as the head of New Labour.
What was the song?
Things.
Oh, Things Can Only Get Better. Yeah, because he had something to do with Thin Lizzy somewhere along the way.
Brian Cox?
Yeah, because...
It's like Midge hanging out.
No, because he had something to do... Because Darren Wharton, who played it with...
Keyboards
with
and Thin Lizzy.
He had something to do with Darren Wharton. He might be... I don't know, I can't remember. Anyway, let's move on.
That's a brilliant connection, though. Yeah, I want to know more about this.
I could be wrong. Okay. All right, let's move on. Where else are we going?
Well, we'll stick with Britpop because I seem to be on a bit of a kind of a stream of consciousness here. And Dave Rowntree and Alex James, well, they go together. But David Rowntree is kind of the interesting one. Blur were always denigrated for being very middle class, weren't they? I think they were from Colchester, thereabouts, as opposed to Oasis, who were kind of Burnage and working class Manchester and all that sort of good stuff. Dave Rowntree was the Blur drummer. He was also kind of working as an animator at the time as well, you know, when Leisure came out. And then what was the second album? Modern Life is Rubbish. We didn't really know. It was Baggy, then into kind of this vague wasteland in between that and Britpop, when of course everything went stratospheric in 94 with Park Life. So they didn't really know if it was going to take off. And like a lot of people, sensible middle class boys, he didn't give up his original career. He also had a lot of friends who were lawyers, Dave, and so he was hanging around with
them.
Was
that his original career?
No, his original career was kind of as an animator.
All right.
And then he was a drummer in Blur. And he's at pains to point out, I wasn't always just the drummer in Blur. So he was hanging out with his lawyer mates as well. And then he kind of started hanging out in kind of cells and kind of, you know, shadowing them. And he was thinking, maybe a career in the law is for me. So he studied at night whilst playing mega domes and all that sort of good stuff with backing up Blur. And he became a full-time lawyer. Also stood as a Labour councillor in North London. I'm assuming it's North London because it would have to be, wouldn't it? And I should also mention that I suppose we should also mention Alex James, shouldn't we?
Oh, geez.
The bass player. Yeah. He went on to hang out very much not with Labour, right, although some might argue New Labour, but the likes of, what do you call him? He's gone. David Cameron and the other fella, Jeremy Clarkson, and all that kind of horsey set. But he's a cheese farmer and he had a cheese festival, or he had some sort of kind of very, 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 very Tory boy festival, as I think the Guardian would have described
it.
So that's Alex James and Dave Rowntree from Blur. Graham Coxon still noodling away his guitar, and sure, Damon can't stop doing anything.
Yeah, he's got a new single out this week.
And he's got a new mullet as well.
Yeah, okay, now, where are we going next?
And someone that I know was on your show quite recently, actually. We'll go back into the 1980s. And Richard Coles.
Oh, yeah, from the Communards.
The very reverend.
He's a vicar or a priest.
He is a vicar.
Yeah. A deacon.
He is, a Church of England. He's actually recently been bereaved. His husband died not that long ago. Another priest.
But he wrote a book about it. It's very good.
He did, and he wrote a book about his life as well. Very strange. He's written two books. And the first one I read, I haven't read the second one.
I haven't read the first one.
Yeah, there you go. We could form a book club. But he was the keyboardist to Jimmy Somerville in the Communards in the mid-1980s. And it was an exuberant time, I suppose, for gender politics and for sexuality politics and all that sort of stuff. And he found a very... odd path, although he says he was a chorister his whole childhood, so it was a natural kind of segue into religion.
Okay, well, of all the people that you've mentioned, I'm going to play something here very briefly for a second or two from The Cheesemaker and the Lawyer.
Check.
Okay, Brian Cox, Lauren Laverne, Richard Coles, and a couple of Blur people as well you mentioned there. That is Blur, that is Song 2. And we're talking about people here who left the world of music behind them and started a second career. Where are you going next?
We go back to the 70s and the punk heyday of The Clash, and particularly their first album, and later on after, Topper Heaton had to leave the band. But Terry Chimes is the original drummer in The Clash on the first record, White Riot and all those good things. He then left punk. He hung out with Black Sabbath and Billy Idol. You know, he kind of had that kind of meandering kind of musical career and thought, this isn't it for me, and found his way to chiropractic medicine, Dave.
He is
Terry Chimes, practicing Catholic, I believe, as well, and full-time chiropractor. And what I love about this is he enrolled in a course in Bournemouth in the, the early 90s, I think, at this stage. So he kind of muddled around in music for about a decade. And he was kind of, you know, anonymous life and whatever. Tory Crimes, of course, is what they called him on the back of one of the records, wasn't it? Anyway, do you remember the Levi's ads came out and Should I Stay or Should I Go was number one for, you know, 3 weeks or something in kind of the early 90s. Your man's enrolled in a course thinking he's got this anonymous post-music career, and there he is on the telly on Top of the Pops at number one for 3 weeks. So The Secret, as he says, was out. However, Paul Simonon and Mick Jones have been very good for business, because they've sent a lot of people to him. You'd imagine, drummers in particular, it makes sense wanting to practice chiropractic medicine. You can't say chiropractic, can you? No, you can't. There's a great story he tells that he was sitting in the car one day and the mobile went and this voice said, is that Terry Chimes chiropractic? Terry Chimes used to be in The Clash. This is the singer. It was Joe Strummer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, Joe was looking for him and could only get through by looking up chiropractor in the yellow pages.
In the yellow pages. Brilliant. It's brilliant, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
So
okay.
That's Terry Chimes.
Actually, I'll give you a little bit of
Go
Clash.
On.
Why not? Are you ready? Wide Ride is the name of the song. That is The Clash there. And on the drums is Tory Crimes, or Terry Chimes, if you like, the drummer in The Clash. Famous chiropractor to the stars. Owen, where are you going next?
Okay, Dan Spitz from Anthrax.
Oh, really? Okay, go on.
You can read about this fella in the New York Times. He is one of the most highly qualified watchmakers on the planet.
Wow.
Yes. It's something inherited
from a horologist.
A horologist, indeed. Wow, I am impressed. Yeah.
No, my father-in-law was a bit of that.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's a long story. Anyway, go on.
Well, his granddad, Dan Spitz's granddad, was a you say it again?
A horologist.
A horologist. There you go. Dan Spitz, of course, Anthrax.
Don't tell me he won nine awards for swimming in the Olympics, did he? No. Okay.
That was Mark Spitz.
All right, okay, go on.
Fact fans. Anyway, yes, there's great video footage of this guy on the New York Times website from a few years ago. It's a very precise art, obviously, hand making all the little mechanics of watches, etc., etc. And it's quite an unusual one for people to kind of get their heads around, because Anthrax were, of course, at the vanguard, Dave, of 1980s thrash metal. So he didn't hurt his neck unduly to harm his future career prospects. What about Louise Wenner?
Oh, yeah, she's from
Sleeper.
Sleeper. That's right, yeah.
Another Britpop. It's funny, all the Britpoppers.
Did something all right. She wrote a book or something.
She's written a few books. She's a very successful author.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's not unusual. There's a bunch of them. Alice Nutter from Chumbawamba is a screenwriter and author as well. And there's a whole bunch of them, obviously, kind of lyricists, kind of sat down and focused, and suddenly they're writing 80,000 words as opposed to kind of, you know, 8-line poems, basically. But there you go. Louise Wenner is a very successful author and, of course, former lead singer with Sleeper. What about Niall O'Flaherty?
Oh, yeah, I know about Niall. Niall is, because we had him on, he's a lecturer in some university somewhere.
He is.
In the Sultans of Ping, yeah?
King's College London. He's a lecturer in the history of European political thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He liked your manifesto, Dave.
Yeah.
He put it to the testo.
It's all right for you to say things can only get better. You haven't lost your brand new sweater. Oh, no. Or is it, oh, yeah? Oh, let me give it. There he is. He's a poet.
Brilliant.
So he's a university lecturer in European political thought at King's College in London.
This is 100% true.
Don't drink tea and don't drink coffee. Cover your chin and Yorkshire toffee.
dancing in the disco, bumper to bumper. Wait a minute. Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper? Dancing in the disco, bumper to bumper. Wait a minute. Where's me jumper? 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 Oh no. Dancing at the disco. Go, go, go. Dancing at the disco. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Dancing at the disco. Go, go, go. Dancing at the disco. Oh no, oh no. It's alright to say things can only get better. You have lost your brand new sweater. I know I had it on when I had my tea, and I'm sure I had it on in the lavatory. Oh no.
I mean, it's not just a classic, it's with a capital C. Brilliant. Not Dancing at the Disco. Where's Me Jumper?
Where's
That's from
Me Jumper?
The Ping FC, I'll have you know.
Stupid right. Kid was another great song, wasn't it?
Yeah. Where are we going next?
Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Now, Casual Sex in the Cineplex.
That was the album. Kick Me With Your Leather Boots, another favourite. Let's Go Shopping.
Jeff Skunk Baxter. Oh, wait a minute. Was his dad, or was he involved in himself being in the CIA or one of these things? He was a bit of a spy kind of person.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was the Copelands.
The Doobies and Steely Dan.
Steely Dan, exactly.
And he had a
right.
moustache going from here to Galway.
Yes, I don't know if he still does, but the last picture I saw of him, certainly he still did. He was a big fan of digital recording, etc., etc. He's now a US military consultant working for The Man. His big thing, he says, is to look at existing technologies and try and see other ways they could be used, which happens in music all the time and happens to be, Dave, what terrorists are incredibly good at.
Wow, indeed. Okay, keep
so
going.
There you go. Brand new thrill. What was this? No, is that Steely Dan? Can't remember. Alana Curry from the Thompson Twins. I know you're going, who?
No,
hold me now.
I'm not going who, because I'll tell you why. I saw it. It's brilliant. There's three of them in the Thompson Twins, isn't there?
There were, yeah, at their peak. Yeah, Joe Leeway and Tom Bailey.
Well, there was
and
two terrorists. There was Thompson Twin played at, what do you call that festival of like Forever Young or something?
Like, oh, yeah, the Rewind thing. Ago. Yeah, the one in...
And I went to it, yeah. And I always hated the band, and I hated them then as well. There was nothing about this band that I liked, you know? I mean, if I remember rightly, once I saw them on Top of the Pops and they had a keyboard over their neck playing it like this, that is not acceptable.
They were big in the keytars as well. Yeah. That's your dead
anyway,
right.
Tell me about the beautiful Alana.
Alana Curry, who's actually a Kiwi. She was married to Tom Bailey for years. Anyway, she also co-wrote loads of the songs. I think it's worth mentioning. She wrote stuff like Hold Me Now and Hold Me Now, which is always played on 80s retro stations as well. So she's making a bit of Wanga from the old songwriting. So that allows her to become a kind of arty, upmarket, but also kind of avant-garde upholsterer of furniture. And so she has exhibitions.
Jack White does that.
It's actually the polar opposite. It's the reverse of Jack White.
He started doing that.
Yeah, he was doing your regular commoner garden, well not garden, commoner front room armchair. She does things which I believe a chaise longue exhibited 10 years ago came with a stuffed swan for an armrest. So it's that sort of stuff. You can do
Fantastic.
That, Dave, when you've written I Want That Man for Debbie Harry.
Right, okay, fair enough. Moving on.
The drummer from Shed 7, I love this story himself.
The drummer from Shed 7. Wow. Do you hear that noise in the background? That's scraping the bottom of the barrel. The drummer
going
from
goals.
Shed 7.
Yes, but this is great now. And this was good a year and a half ago. It's even better now.
I once met a roadie from Dumpy's Rusty Nuts. Will that do?
Met a roadie from the Inspiral Carpets
yes,
as well.
Indeed, yes, Noel Gallagher. Okay, go on.
Alan Leach and his brother John set up this app. They were big into quizzing, like myself, and they loved an old pub quiz. So they set up this app that you could do,
you know what amazing thing about John Leach? He's my uncle.
Really?
I've got an uncle called John Leach.
And Alan Leach is an actor who was in Downton Abbey.
Yes, that's right.
He went to school around the corner.
Right.
Literally, he went to school around the corner.
Right.
Anyway, Alan and John Leach, the drummer from Shed 7 and his brother, developed this app for quizzing, you know, kind of live quizzing, etc., in pubs and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, don't get me into the technology. This was a mad success. They're based in New York, all going well. Then the lockdown happens. The market for quizzing, first of all, goes through the roof. So they, you know, their sales and interest doubles kind
and
of last April.
They develop quizzes.
They develop quizzes, but it's also the technology to play simultaneously in different places, which is very clever and in live in real time. But then Gala Bingo, if people are familiar with that, is kind of a touchstone from it. And Speed Quizzing is the name of the app. However, it was retooled kind of last summer to allow for online learning as well. So, you know, they've made the most of the pandemic. That is the drummer from Shed 7 and his brother.
Fantastic.
So take that, Dave Fanning.
Yeah, okay.
Russell Senior from Pulp is now an antiques dealer.
Oh, yeah, Russell Senior.
The guitar and violinist fella.
Oh, he was both those, yeah, right. He's an antiques dealer.
And he also a novelist, but yeah, an antiques dealer, which is pretty cool. Terminator X from Public Enemy.
What does Terminator X from Public Enemy do?
He's an ostrich farmer.
He's an ostrich farmer.
The DJs, they're DJ. They're, you know, Welcome to the Thunderdome. All these great records from the end of the 1980s and early 1990s. He was involved in a motorcycle crash, much like Bob Dylan. However, unlike Bob Dylan, he didn't go back to music. He became an ostrich farmer and happily married in North Carolina. Or is it South Carolina? North Carolina, wow. I believe.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Can we stick with agriculture for a second?
Go ahead.
Jim Martin, the guitar player in Faith No More, who people will know with the big bushy beard and the red-rimmed glasses. He became, amongst other things, Dave, a competitive giant pumpkin farmer.
A competitive, in other words, he grew pumpkins to win in competitions.
That's exactly
that are about
it.
Pumpkins.
Yeah, yeah. Now he obviously made a fair bit of money, I'm guessing, from Faith No More, and could live off those earnings.
So it's a thing, is it?
Apparently, it's
giant
a thing
pumpkin
in California as well. So he wasn't living in North Carolina, kind of uber agricultural Midwest.
I can't remember who they were.
This is them. That's him on guitar, or it will be. Him. It's safe to say, Dave, he cares a lot about giant competitive pumpkin farming. He's also in Bill and Ted's second movie, the name of which has gone right out of my head. Bogus Journey.
Which I saw recently. Got great reviews. It was terrible.
The second one or the third one?
Oh,
the
sorry.
New one's awful. I thought it was terrible.
Oh, I thought about the third one. Sorry, yeah, but there was the third one. Sorry. That's the one I saw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's Faith No More.
What I don't get about the third Bill and Ted movie is they're playing themselves now, are they not?
Yeah,
and yet they've got prostheses on to make themselves look older.
At a wedding. Oh, it's just
yeah, it's dreadful.
Stuff.
It's anyway, disappointing. Do you remember Pepsi and Shirley?
Yes, Pepsi and Shirley, I do indeed.
Heartache was kind of one of their... And Goodbye Stranger, was Goodbye Stranger their other hit? Anyway, Shirley married one of the Kemps, Martin Kemp, who himself became an actor after being a pop star, but's gone back to being a pop star. Anyway, Pepsi, whose parents are originally from St. Lucia, at one point resided in Wellington, New Zealand, apparently working in a gift shop. In the CBD of Wellington, the capital of New Zealand. She then moved to Norwich, but now she is running a charter boat company with her husband in St. Lucia, which is pretty cool when you think about it. And she's on their website.
It's in the Caribbean direction.
Yeah, yeah.
The Caribbean, whatever you want to
yes,
call it.
Yes, Just Sail, JUSSAIL.com. Check it out.
Really?
Herself and her husband, James Crockett. And her nephew, this is an interesting little tidbit of information, was a 2018 UK Eurovision Song Contest contestant, Caesar Sampson.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Give us a few quick ones then.
Bill Berry, R.E.M. drummer.
He's a farmer. He became a farmer while they were still huge. In fact, he became a farmer around the time they signed an $80 million deal.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then, of course, he had a brain aneurysm in Switzerland, which preempted his escape. Yeah.
Yeah,
he left after 10 albums, the 10 good ones.
He just wanted to lead a quieter life.
He did. And he's based there in Georgia and he loves his tractors. He's played with them once or twice in a pizza parlor. That's it. I'd love to have a pint of Bill Berry. That's my one ambition.
Any others?
MC Hammer became a pastor at the Jubilee Christian Center in San Jose, California.
Amazing.
He went bankrupt, famously.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And can I mention one particular Irish one? There's loads of them, obviously. Cormac Battle upstairs.
Indeed.
You know, wandering these very corridors and a whole bunch of other people. But special mention, I think, for all things Irish, to James Jim Lockhart.
Of course. Producer extraordinaire and loads of other things here in Fabulous Radio, who was capable of, at the same time, playing Illan pipes, the tin whistle and the keyboards with just two hands.
That's
amazing.
And he shepherded Dave Fanning for many
there
years.
There aren't many people like that who can do that. I can
and he gave us a theme tune to Glenroe.
He did. And then Olé, Olé, Olé.
That's them as well.
Put them under pressure.
Absolutely.
Just very quickly, in 10 seconds, give me a few more.
Very quickly, in 10 seconds, give you a few more. Okay, Robert Dean, who was the guitar player in Japan. Do you remember them?
I remember Japan very
David
well.
Sylvian,
Quiet Life.
He illustrates ornithology books now.
Does he?
Mike Edwards from Jesus Jones is now a personal trainer.
Stop.
He loved cycling when he was a rock star. It's terrible. David Emmanuel, do you remember Smiley Culture from the 1980s?
I don't remember the name.
Yeah, he's a diamond mine manager.
Of course he is.
Amelia Fletcher. This is brilliant. Amelia Fletcher from Tallulah Gosh and Heavenly, if you remember those very, very fey indie bands. She's now chief economist and director of mergers at the Office of Fair Trading in the UK. Peter, her band pal, Peter, whose name I always struggle to pronounce, Momchilov, was a guitar player in Tallulah. Gosh and Heavenly. He's senior commissioning editor at the Oxford University Press, specialising in philosophy books.
All right.
Isn't that mad? Yeah. I mentioned Chumbawamba. Special mention, Florence Ballard left the Supremes in kind of the mid-60s. And Cindy Birdsong, who's got the most beautifully song-like lyrical name, took her place. She is now a nurse after she left Diana Ross and the
fantastic.
Supremes.
Fantastic. Good man yourself, Owen. Thank you very much indeed. Owen Sweeney it is. So there is life after pop.
Absolutely.
Is there life after the pop they have these days, though? Because seriously,
the damage
they're leaving behind at the moment.
Dave Fanning, Weekends on 2FM.